My tour of the National Center for the Blind and First Washington Seminar, What an Experience, by Daniel Garcia. My first Washington Seminar experience exceeded all expectations. It was a very exciting trip, full of fun and adventure, and our Missouri team, Daniel Hodges, Julie McGinnity, Sheila Wright, Gary Wonder, and I, got a lot of productive work done. I also enjoyed immensely the side trip I took to Baltimore, Maryland to visit the National Center for the Blind and Jernigan Institute, which would not have happened without the encouragement from a fellow chapter member and without the generosity of the National Office staff. In 2017, I decided that 2018 would be the first year I attended Washington Seminar. In December, I got my plane tickets and arranged to get a roommate. I was certainly getting more and more excited about the trip as time went by. In early January of 2018, I was talking with President Wright, and she informed me that the National Office would not be providing tours at the National Center for the Blind and Jernigan Institute as traditionally happens during Washington Seminar. A few days later, I was talking with another Kansas City chapter member, Willa Patterson, who suggested that I call the National Office and asked if I could still get a tour of the building. I agreed with her that it could not hurt to try. The National Office graciously agreed to provide me a 2-hour personal tour of the building. All I had to do was provide my own transportation from Washington to Baltimore. After I arrived in Washington on Sunday, January 28, I spent the rest of the day talking with my roommate and listening to my audiobook. At the time, I was reading A Sense of the World, How a Blind Man Became History's Greatest Traveler. This book recounts the biography of James Holman, a 19th-century blind British explorer. Although I was a bit nervous about making a side trip to Baltimore, reading this book provided me with a sense of perspective. If James Holman could travel the world during the 19th century, then I could certainly travel 34 miles to Baltimore using modern transportation. On Monday morning, I got up early and took a commuter train, the MARC train, from Washington to Baltimore. I then took a short Uber ride to the National Center and arrived at exactly 9 o'clock. My 2-hour tour at the National Center was guided by Susan Scare, who is a technical administrative assistant at the National Office. One of the first things I saw during my tour was the Utah Room, an auditorium that was constructed with generous funding from the Utah affiliate. I was then shown various conference rooms and dormitory areas. We then went outside to a large deck with a nice view of the harbor where Dr. Maurer oftentimes shows blind and sighted people that blind people can safely barbecue and make a delicious meal out of it. We then went to the International Braille and Technology Center where Carl Bellinger showed me various braille displays, note takers, embossers, and objects made with 3D printers. The one piece of technology that fascinated me the most was the Orbit Reader, a 20-cell braille display that will retail for $449. We then made our way to the Independence Market. Ellen Ringland showed me the great variety of products the Independence Market has, anything from accessible kitchen utensils, different types of white canes, thermostats, talking scales, etc. I spent some time examining the KNFB reader stand, which makes it easier to scan documents when using the KNFB reader, and a slate designed in such a way that you can write braille from left to right instead of right to left. We then went to the Tinbrook Library, where I was shown many interesting historical objects. There were 2 commemorative Louis Braille coins that went up into space during 2009. I also got to feel a crooked cane that Dr. Tinbrook used. These types of canes were in use before the adoption of the long white cane. In addition, the library has a prototype of the buggy that was used during the Blind Driver Challenge in 2011. One of the last exhibits I got to feel shows Eric Weinmeier's summit of Mount Everest. Toward the end of the tour, we went to Proclamation Hall, which has along its walls the proclamations sent from state affiliates commemorating White Cane Safety Day and other events. There's also a hall that has the charters of affiliation for the state affiliates. The state name is brailled on the right side in the wooden frame. On the first floor, there's a historical timeline of NFB history, which you can read in braille. I traveled back to Washington in a van with members of the NFB of Maryland. After a quick lunch, I made my way to the training seminar that was to take place from 2 to 4 p.m., The great gathering in would be that in that same room at 5 p.m. I figured that I had time to go back to my room and come back. That proved to be a huge mistake. By the time I came back, it was 4:45 p.m. The room was full, and I was directed to go to the overflow room. I was obviously not going to get to meet President Riccobono that day. Even so, I enjoyed being a part of the great gathering in. The event was both very informative and full of NFB energy. After dinner, the Missouri team did some role-playing for the next day. Looking back on this role-playing now, I think I was overdoing it a bit much. I anticipated dozens of questions from legislators and staffers that never even came up. On Tuesday, we were scheduled to have 5 out of our 10 total appointments. Washington Seminar felt a little different to me than Jefferson City Seminar. While in Jefferson City, all the appointments are in the same building, in Washington, we had appointments in multiple House and Senate office buildings. Sometimes we had to take cabs, while at other times we could just simply walk through tunnels from one building to another. I did like the fact that we had plenty of time to discuss the issues with various staffers. It seems to me that in Jefferson City we are always trying to rush to get to the next appointment. Our second appointment on Tuesday was with Senator Roy Blunt, whom we got to meet. After our appointments were done on Tuesday, we went back to our room for a few minutes to rest. We then made our way to the museum for a presentation commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Battle of Hue during the Tet Offensive in the Vietnam War. This exhibit will be opened July 8th, and it showcases the work of photographer John Olson. The NFB and 3D Photo Works partnered to make this exhibit accessible to the blind. In addition to each exhibit display having a tactile rendering of the photograph, there was a description in Braille of the photograph and audio descriptions. Due to the State of the Union speech taking place later on that night, the security perimeter in Washington was very tight, and we arrived a few minutes after the presentation had started. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of visitors in the museum that night, and even though I was in the same room where President Riccobono was giving a speech, I still did not get to meet the president that night. In fact, it was so crowded that I lost track of the rest of the Missouri team. I figured that I was now free to roam about the museum and meet people from different states, and that I did. I only got to explore 3 or 4 exhibits, but I am very excited that the NFB is sponsoring this kind of tactile exhibit because it shows the general public that blind people are indeed interested in art. Eventually, I found the rest of the Missouri team, and we made our way back to the hotel. On Wednesday, we had 3 appointments. The last appointment was with Congressman Lacey Clay. After discussing our legislative agenda with his staffer, we took a picture that shows the members of the Missouri team next to a window with a view of the Capitol. When we got back to the hotel, we then had a legislative meeting with the members of the NFB Governmental Affairs Office to learn about what kind of progress was being made in meeting our legislative objectives. We were informed that a few representatives and senators had agreed to add their names as co-sponsors of the AIM High, Accessible Instructional Materials in Higher Education Act, and the ATAA, Accessible Technology Affordability Act. On Thursday, we only had 2 appointments, which we dispatched quickly. After all of us in the Missouri team had a nice lunch together, President Wright and I departed for the airport, and we arrived in Kansas City later that evening. I was filled with a sense of accomplishment. Not only did Senator Blunt agree to co-sponsor the ATAA, but it seemed that many legislators were hesitant to support the ADA Education and Reform Act once they realized the harm it would cause the blind and other disabled individuals. I was also very happy about having had the opportunity to go to the National Center for the Blind for the first time. I don't know if I will go to Washington Seminar every year, but I certainly will go again. Many people have often said that the Washington Seminar is like a mini convention. I think this is true. I did get to meet many fine federations from across the country. It is also indeed true that nobody moves policy like the NFB. If you have not yet attended a Washington Seminar, I urge you to go. It is an experience that you'll never forget.